I'm working again. Let's open our Bibles. That's a good place to start. Luke chapter 17. This thing is moody. Wonder what that means. Is anybody else moody in here? Is anybody moody? Don't raise your hand. Luke 17. I'm not saying I'm moody, but Mondays are just Mondays, I guess. Luke 17. Stand with me before I get in trouble. Good night. Now it's really working. Okay. Y'all must have prayed over the sound system, men. Thank you. Luke 17:11. It came to pass as he went through Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. As he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice, glorified God. He fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. I think you probably recognize that story from a couple nights ago. But don't worry, I'm not going to preach the same message. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I pray that you would help us tonight to just sit still at your feet on purpose. Lord, give me the voice necessary, but Lord, more than that, I pray, God, for your power, Holy Spirit, filling each one of our hearts, Lord, as far as I know, Lord, everyone in here has your spirit indwelling them. So God, please help us to pay attention to that still small voice on purpose. May we listen, may we hear what the Spirit has to say to this church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I want to preach to you from this passage, and we'll go through some other places, but I want to preach on letting it show. Letting it show. I know Thanksgiving is behind us, but I still want to stay on this topic just for a little bit longer. And, you know, I'm sure there are people that you're grateful for. I know in your life that you are obviously, no doubt, thankful for some people that you have. Hopefully you husbands are grateful for your wives, the wives grateful for your husbands, children grateful for your parents, parents grateful for your children, church members grateful for your other church members, preachers grateful for their church, and vice versa. Things like that. And there's people that you're grateful for. There's also things that you're grateful for. That's no doubt about it. I mean, you're grateful for your home, your bed. Tonight you'll be thankful for your heater and your dry, you know, your shelter, that you don't have to sleep out in this wet monsoon that it's been for the last 3 or 4 days. And we're grateful for people. We're grateful for things in this life, and there's nothing wrong with that. We ought to be, no matter what. Where we're at in our life, we ought to be thankful for some people and things. But my question is to you tonight, how do you show that? How do you show that? Most times when we're grateful for what someone has done, you know, we might thank them. We might say thank you. Sometimes we might even express our gratitude with a thank you card, maybe in writing. My wife is a stickler for thank you cards, and I'm glad for that. Sometimes I tease her, and I say, well, you know, you're going to send them a thank you card, and then if they send you a thank you card back, are you going to send them a thank you card for the thank you card? And it could go on forever. But you know, it's better to be more thankful than not thankful at all. And I'm just talking about letting your thanksgiving, letting your gratitude show, letting it show. People appreciate grateful people. Now, things don't know anything about you being grateful for them, but people appreciate grateful people. My soul, this thing is ringing now. People appreciate when other people show their gratitude. And listen, can I say something to you? I believe God. I believe God, I know God deserves it, but I know also God desires it, and I know God appreciates it when we show Him our thanksgiving, our gratitude. We've celebrated Thanksgiving, you know, everybody ate enough, I hope. We're still eating on some turkey, and I know you are probably too, but it's a national holiday for Americans, and I alluded to this a little bit on Tuesday, but would you say, obviously I know the answer, you don't need to answer me, but would you say that America as a nation is showing its gratitude to God for the freedoms that we have? Now maybe they did years gone by, but today are we as a nation, are we really showing our gratitude for the Word of God as a nation? Are we showing our gratitude for the preaching of the Word of God as a nation? It was old-fashioned Bible preaching that worked in the hearts of our forefathers that led them to realize that we must come out from under this British tyranny so that we can worship God the way the Bible says to worship God. See, we have the men with their signatures on the Bill of Rights and the Declaration of Independence. And we have their signatures, but we don't have the signatures of the pastors and the men of God standing in pulpits during those days that were preaching, that George Washington and those men and John Hancock and those men, Benjamin Franklin, sat in those churches and heard the preaching of that word of that Bible right there. Not any other Bible, but the King, there wasn't any other Bible then, yeah. Thank God. Right. They didn't have the battles that we have today with all these other nonsense. But the thing is, this very Bible preached from pulpits not unlike this one. In small churches, it wasn't a matter of being a big, and there wasn't mega churches back in those days. There was just simply people who loved the Lord, who got together, who wanted God to speak to their heart, who wanted to serve God, who wanted to honor God with their lives, who wanted to glorify Him as their Lord and Savior. And the preaching of this book made them begin to understand. Listen, that we should have freedom to serve God the way the Bible says, because the truth is what makes us free.
Amen.
Preachers preaching this book, men of our forefathers getting a hold of, they weren't all Baptists, they weren't all even, unfortunately, I don't think they were all even saved, but there was one common thread among those men, is they had a fear of God and a fear of His Word. Amen. They took it seriously. But we want to understand, do we really show that now today? Do we show our gratitude for the Bible? Do we show our gratitude for the preaching of the Bible? And of course, you can look around in nations today and men have stopped preaching. The Bible has been torn apart, torn aside. And are we thankful for the family that God has given us? Now, I'm telling you one thing. We have more broken families than we do have whole families by far in our country today. Because we don't value the family. We don't treat it as a great gift from God. Those children are a heritage in God. That husband, that wife. Listen, we're all guilty of overlooking the fact that God has blessed us with a family. And I know that all of our families, even here tonight, are everything that we would want them to be. But we certainly need to understand that those of us who have been blessed with God, we should be thankful. And it should show. It should show. We're thankful for the church that God gave us the church, not man. God gave it. Jesus Christ bled and died. He loved His church and gave Himself for it. And we have a church. We have a husband, a wife, a spouse, children. We have health. We have strength. We have job. But listen, how are we letting it show?
Amen.
Gratitude.
Good.
Thanksgiving is designed to show gratitude openly to God for all the things He's done for us as a nation. And then, of course, we can't control the nation, but we certainly can control what we do as individuals. If there's anyone that should be show their gratitude to God, if anyone in our country that should be thankful and let it be shown, it's Christians. It's those of us who have been saved, who know the difference between hell and heaven, who know the difference between right and wrong, truth and error, lies, and God's sound doctrine.
Amen.
Our gratitude to God should be something that's evident in our lives. That's what I'm trying to say.
Right. Amen.
That's what I'm trying to say. It ought to be evident in our lives. Not just coming off of our lips, but it ought to be evident in our lives.
Amen.
I was having some family devotions, it's been a week or so ago, and something that I said to my children, they probably remember it, but I tell you what, you can't stand up here and preach this book or even sit down and have devotions with your kids without what you say about that book hitting you right between the eyes sometimes.
Amen.
By the way, as a family, you need to have family time around the Word of God.
Amen.
Family altar is what it's all. Brother Lester Roloff used to always family altar time. But listen, I told you on Tuesday, or last Sunday night, that you men, you're the pastor of your home. I can't be there at all times. You got to be the head of that house, and you should be the one leading your family through the Word of God. You ought to be the one that helps your wife and children understand the Word of God. It ought not be little Joe over there helping you understand the Bible. Men of God, men, leaders of your home, get in the Word of God. But I was telling my family, we were talking about something, an Old Testament story. I can't even find the passage now, but I remember the truth. I know what it was. I'm not going to try to quote it, but I think it was Asa, one of the kings of Jerusalem, and the king of Egypt, Pharaoh of Egypt, was coming up against one of the northern countries. I can't remember exactly who it was. You'll bear with me here a minute. But Asa thought he was going to, I think it was Asa, don't quote me on that. One of the kings of Judah thought, well, I'm going to go up here and defend that nation against the king of Egypt. And see, he had just won a battle before, but when he went up against the king of Egypt, the king of Egypt said, Asa, in so many words, I can't quote it, he said, Asa, don't get too big for your britches.
Amen.
Now, he was very polite about it. He was very straightforward. He said, "Don't come up here and fight me. It would be like a I can't remember the word. You know, the Bible is so poetic, beautiful language. But he basically said it would be like the little flower trying to overtake the great oak tree."
Yep.
He said, "Don't come up here and mess with me. I know you've won your battles, but this is not your battle." And here's what happened. Asa, the king of Judah, God's king, went up there and did it anyway, and he lost, and he died. Now, here's what I taught my children about that, is I said, you know, why didn't he listen to that Pharaoh? Why didn't he listen to that king of Egypt? And the point was, because he was the king of Egypt. And this was the king of Judah, the God's people. And why didn't he, and here's the principle here. If your life doesn't back up your lips, no one's going to listen.
Amen. That's good. Amen.
And boy, I know I saw some of my kids write that down, and I thought, yeah, you better. And then I thought, oh man, Lord, that hurt. If our lives don't show our gratitude, when we tell God we're thankful, when we act and say thankful things and they're around Thanksgiving, nobody's really listening, because it's not really showing.
Yeah.
And we're just speaking out of one side of our mouth, but our lives are really showing forth something else. That's so true for preachers especially. That's true for you too, Daddy.
Yeah.
That's true for you too, Mama. If you're telling your children one thing, but yet, you know, what's good for the goose is good for the gander, they say. You know what a gander is, right? The head goose, the leader. What's good for the goose is good for the gander. What's good for the church is good for the pastor. What's good for the children is good for mom and dad. You know, you shouldn't say, well, you know, children, you shouldn't be watching that stuff on TV. That's bad for you, but yet you go watch it.
Yeah. Amen.
Why is it bad for them and okay for you?
Come on.
Well, because I'm a grown-up. I'm mature enough. That's still sin, and you're still a Christian.
Amen, preacher. It's good.
They're not going to listen to you.
Come on.
Does it show that you're thankful? That's all I'm saying. That was a long, roundabout way to ask you that. Does it show that you're thankful? By the way, if it doesn't show, then no one's listening when you say you're thankful. Our ingratitude as a nation, as a whole, and as Christians, has greatly quenched the Spirit of God in our country. Now, this morning I told you about grieving the Spirit. I know some of you weren't here and others were in the other areas of ministry, but I'm not talking necessarily grieving. Here's a way you can, if you want to learn this or think about it this way, grieving the Spirit of God is when we do what we're not supposed to do. In other words, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, I don't have time to read that again, but that grieve not the Spirit of God. We don't speak evil. We don't let bitterness and wrath and clamor, and we forgive. And we don't let any corrupt communication come out of our mouth. And we don't do the things that we're not supposed to do. When we begin doing things God says not to do, we grieve the Spirit. But I want you to turn with me to 1 Thessalonians tonight, and I want to tell you the difference between grieving the Spirit and quenching the Spirit. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It's a different monster, if you will. Grieving and quenching. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 15. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. So right away, God tells us to do something. He's not telling us not to do. He's telling us to follow that which is good among yourselves and to all men. Then he says to do something, rejoice evermore. Then he says to do something, pray without ceasing. Then he says to do something, and notice, this is what we're getting to, in everything give thanks.
Amen.
For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Very next verse says, quench not the Spirit.
Yeah.
When you and I refuse to be thankful in all things. Now, I know you've heard people say, well, that says in all things, not for all things. So wait a minute. Your Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5 to be thankful for all things as well. When God says to be thankful in all things, what he means is to be thankful for and in all things. It's getting real quiet. When we refuse to thank God for something that we don't want or we don't like, we're quenching the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Right. Grieving the Spirit is doing something we're not supposed to do. Quenching the Spirit is not doing what we are supposed to do. You see the difference? It's ignoring the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God says, rejoice right here. The Spirit of God says, pray. Pray. The Spirit of God says, thank me right now. The Spirit of God says to do good unto all men. Look for good in all. And it says do. And then it says, but don't quench the Spirit. When you don't do what you're supposed to do, when you don't do what God leads us to do in those situations, you quench the Spirit. What does it mean to quench the Spirit? It means to put Him out. It means to extinguish Him. You can't get rid of Him, but you just quench His. You know what a squelch is? I probably don't know what it is, but those of you older folks remember what a CB radio is, and used to have a squelch on that thing. And what that was that removed it, quenched all the noise, all the static in the background, so you could just hear only when somebody came through. And y'all probably don't know what a CB radio is. Citizens Band Radio, breaker 19. Oh wow. I used to have one of those things. You squelch all the background noise, so all you can hear is when somebody's talking to you. What it does is it quenches the noise, so you can hear the voices. But when we quench the Holy Spirit, we squelch His voice, so all we can hear is what we want to hear. Well, basically our heart gets hard.
Amen.
Our heart gets hard when we refuse to be thankful.
Yeah.
We quench the Spirit. You know why we had great revivals in days gone by? And again, I know we're talking about America, but it is a national holiday, and we still ought to love our country, and we still ought to pray for revival in our city at least. But by the way, revival doesn't start with 1,000 people. It starts with 2 or 3 really getting serious about themselves.
Amen.
They had revivals back in the days gone by because they didn't quench the Spirit. They did pray without ceasing. They did rejoice evermore. They did follow that which is good. They did thank God for all things, in all things, at all times. God wants to hear you sing when the waves are crashing round you, when the fiery darts surrounds you, when despair is all you see,
amen.
God wants to hear you sing.
That's right. Amen.
That's when God wants to hear you sing.
Yep.
Anybody can sing when the sun is shining and the waters are calm and the storm is gone. But God wants to hear us sing when the waves are crashing.
Amen.
When the fiery darts are flying around us. And when we don't, you know what happens? We quench the spirit. You know, I remember many times in my own personal life, and that's all I can go off. I can't talk about your personal lives, but I can talk about mine. Where I go to my secret place, and it's the worst, it's the darkest hour. And it's at those times where God speaks the loudest.
Amen.
But I can also remember times where I refused because I was discouraged. And then I don't know, I didn't hear from God for days because I quenched His spirit. When I talk about showing our gratitude, I'm not talking about for show. I'm talking about
amen.
So He sees it.
That's right. Amen.
Let it show.
That's good.
You know, when you let God know you're thankful, other people will see that you're thankful. Other people will see that there's a different light in your eyes. There's a different countenance on your face. Your countenance doth witness against you, by the way. We sitting in this church and our children and some few others who have been saved, but you know, they obviously haven't learned to be faithful yet, but it's very possible that they will. But we sitting in this church and our children, really, by God's grace, that's the hope for our nation.
Right.
Those kids that come in on those buses on Sunday mornings, that's the hope for our nation.
Amen.
It's not in the White House.
That's right.
I don't care who gets elected. They're all politicians.
Yeah.
They're all politicians. I don't care what they say. They're all politicians.
Yeah.
I don't care if they're Republican or Democrat. They're all. I don't care if they're white or black. I do care if they're female. Lord God help us. But anyway, I love her. But still, she's still a politician.
Yeah.
Is America really going to come to that? Why not? We've got pastorettes. How do you say that? Pastorettes in the pulpits. Listen, when we quench God's Spirit in our church and we quench God's Spirit in our homes, what do we expect to happen in our nation?
Amen.
Right. Now, going back to Luke 17, it ought to be easy to thank God. Some of these it's going to be easy to thank God, and some of these, as I get through these tonight, and I apologize for my voice. I'm trying to just kind of be a little bit soft-spoken tonight. I know you're desperately disappointed, but maybe you're not. I don't know, but I can't get too riled up, and my voice will go to cracking and popping. But there are some of these in Luke 17. It ought to be easy to show your gratitude when you just got healed from an incurable disease. It ought to be easy to show your gratitude when you just got saved. It ought to be easy to show your gratitude as a Christian for your salvation, your sins being cleansed, washed away. And I want to show you, first of all, our thanksgiving ought to show through our worship.
Yeah.
through our worship. Look again in verse 14. When he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Can you imagine the joy? Can you imagine the relief that those lepers felt? Finally, I don't know how long they were leprous. I don't know how long they had been isolated and cast out. I don't know how long they had been begging for somebody to help them. I don't know how long they had been begging for money, a piece of bread. I don't know anything about that. All I know is that even if they had been lepers for one day, they had to be greatly relieved, thankful. But it's amazing to me. Some of them said, I got to go back to... You understand, let me say that. I think I may have said this Tuesday. But they had to go to the priest to get cleansed or to get approved to go back to their life. It was law. See, they were still living under the law, and they had to go back to the priest to get approved. Okay, if you read in the book of Leviticus, which we don't have time to go there, but it was a law, still Jewish law. They're still under the law that when they were leprous, the priest had to declare them, okay, you're unclean. You can no longer be in society. And then if they were healed, they had to go back to the same priest, and the priest had to declare them, okay, you're clean. You can go back at home or whatever. So when they saw that they were clean, I mean, granted. More than likely, emotions just flooded their hearts and their minds. They thought, great, I got to hurry up and get to the priest so I can go home and kiss my wife again, so I can go home and get back to business on the farm, or I can go home, I can go back to work, or I can go back and see my children again. But listen, so they all, I mean, it wasn't that, I'm not saying that they weren't excited and more than likely thankful to just be cleansed, but they didn't show it to the right person. They didn't show it through their worship. They forgot how they got clean.
Amen.
One leper said, you know what? That priest can wait.
Amen.
Who say, well, he must not have been married. Well, I don't know. You can't hold that over his head, because we don't know that. It doesn't matter. He said, that priest can wait. Going back home can wait. Getting back busy can wait. I'm going to go back and worship the one who healed me.
Amen. That's right.
I have a big problem, and I'm not God. But this thing of people getting saved and then you can't ever find them again. Obviously 90% of Christians are like that. What kind of spiritual life are they going to have?
Yeah. Amen. That's right.
Are they ever going to hear from God? I talked about that on Tuesday night. What kind of they're quenching the Spirit of God. And see, he didn't just go back, but he let everybody know that he was thankful. He wasn't ashamed of anybody knowing. Verse 15, and one of them, when he saw he was healed, turned back with a loud voice, glorified God. It wasn't a thank you, Lord. It wasn't a little, oh, thank you, God, at the altar. It was, praise God, from whom all blessings flow.
Amen.
Praise Him, all creatures here below. So much for soft-spoken.
Yeah.
Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. He wasn't afraid or ashamed.
Amen. That's right.
A loud voice. I can always tell. I'm not picking on anybody, but I have the right to. He's my son. I can always tell when something's bothering Samuel, because he don't sing like he used to. He don't shout amen like he used to. And you know, all I got to do is get home and ask him, son, what's wrong? And he tells me. Because I know something's wrong. And God's asking you tonight, what's wrong?
Amen.
How come you're not shouting like you used to? How come you're not praising God like you used to? How come you're not worshiping? Listen, why does a pastor have to 1, 2, 3, everybody say, ready? Amen.
Amen.
See? 1, 2, 3.
Amen.
Okay, why don't you do that every time God makes a point through His preaching and you get excited? Why don't we worship God? Why is it so much, I'm so worried about who's thinking this and who's thinking that? I know she's out of town tonight, but Shaterica is excited about Jesus.
Amen. That's good. Amen.
I mean, was it you or somebody was sitting beside her Tuesday night? Was it you? And she got home, she said, "Hey, Daddy, Soterica was saying amen."
Amen.
I said, "Good, that's a good start." By the way, I don't have anything wrong with women saying amen. Just don't stand up and start doing all this, okay? Please don't do all that. And don't start speaking in some weird language either. That ain't going to cut the mustard.
Amen.
I don't have any problem with you saying amen, though. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
Okay, but see, it doesn't matter what I do or say. Some of you just ain't going to do it. Why? You're just going to sit there and quench the spirit, harden your heart, and you know that you used to say it, that you used to sing it, that you used to Eustace. What's wrong? All I got to do is ask you, what's wrong?
That's right. Amen.
He fell down at the feet of Jesus. He gave him thanks. I preached about the feet of Jesus in the Spanish church. We're going through the body of Christ. Maybe I'll do that in the English church one of these days. But we're going through the different body parts of Jesus, his hands, his arms, his shoulders, his eyes, his face. And today we did his feet. Boy, that was a blessing.
Amen.
His feet. There's a lot about the feet of Jesus. You know, feet aren't pretty. I don't know about you, but I know you ladies like to paint them up and make them all this. They're still feet.
Yeah.
And they still stink.
Yeah, there you go. You got
it, man. Amen. But the feet of... Thank you, son. You just don't want me to ask you what's wrong later, that's all. I'm going to avoid that conversation. The feet of Jesus, it's worship. The ladies that came out to the feet of Jesus after he resurrected from the tomb, and the Bible says they fell down at his feet and they worshiped him, and they wrapped their arms around his feet. Now, listen, I think about that. What does that mean? Well, when I got you by the feet, you ain't going nowhere.
Amen.
You know, what's the best way to tackle somebody in football? I don't know. You hit them really hard. No, wrap their feet up. And they're not going anywhere. I don't care how big they are. They're not going anywhere if you wrap up their feet.
Yeah.
You see, that's not only is that worship, but they were on their faces and revering and worshiping God. But they were wrapping their arms around his feet in security. That he's been gone for 3 days. I'm not letting him go again.
Yeah, man. That's good. Amen.
It was a blessing. I thought it was a blessing anyway. It helped me. But the fact is, this man fell down at his feet, at his face at his feet. There it is again in verse 16, giving him thanks. It wasn't a little thing. But here's what's interesting. Jesus wasn't amazed that this man came back. Pay attention now. What happened is, Jesus answering in verse 17, were there not 10 cleansed? Were there 9? You know what amazed Jesus? That the other 9 didn't come back.
Yep.
It doesn't amaze Jesus when you worship him. I mean, he just expects it. Shouldn't he?
Yes.
Shouldn't he expect it?
Amen.
Amen. Shouldn't he? I mean, what surprised him was not the Samaritan coming back. The fact that he was a Samaritan was a little bit strange. He was a stranger. He was an alien to the household, commonwealth of Israel. But he got cleansed and he came back. But what surprised him was these other 9 who didn't.
Yep.
And again, no gratitude. I told you Tuesday night, they didn't hear from Jesus again. They didn't have the assurance of their cleansing like this man did because they quenched the spirit. A Christian is someone, listen, who knows that he and she, or she has failed God. They have sinned and they have grieved God. They acknowledge that. They confess their sin. They know that they're not a good person. They know that they're never going to be good enough to go to heaven. A Christian is someone who believes that when Jesus died on the cross, that he died for their very sin. A Christian is one who has believed and placed their faith on Jesus Christ and his resurrection from the dead, from the tomb after 3 days. And at that very specific moment in time, they became a child of God. Now, why isn't a Christian more thankful and show it?
Amen.
You tell me, what's wrong? Something is. You ought to quit making excuses. You ought to quit making excuses. If anybody should be thankful openly, unashamedly. By the way, Romans chapter 10 says, he that believeth on the Lord shall not be ashamed.
Amen.
Not be ashamed.
That's right. Amen.
What other reason is there? Well, there's lots of other reasons, but are you ashamed to just worship God and sing and say amen and smile in church? No, maybe I'm not. Maybe you're not ashamed, but if you're not ashamed, then there's deeper problems. You're not thankful. Well, you may say you are, but it doesn't show. It doesn't show through your worship. Boy, if anybody should know how to worship God, it's a person who's been born again.
Amen.
We should be eternally grateful. It's hard to get around that when you look into people's lives and you see their lack of gratitude. You know their hearts are hard, and literally they have grieved the Spirit. But Lord knows, and bless God, they're quenching the Spirit as well. Hebrews chapter 13:15 says, "By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually." The praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. Yeah. Our lips giving thanks, but we offer to God praise continually. The fruit of our lips give. When we sing the worship choruses, when we sing hymns, when we sing, our hearts should be overflowing with worship.
Amen. Yeah.
It's not about trying to please or impress anybody else. But when, listen, you can ask yourself what's wrong. I'm not going to ask you. I don't want to point anybody out. But let me ask you. You ask yourself, am I singing like I used to sing? Am I worshiping God like I used to worship? And then what's wrong?
Yep.
I'm telling you right now, the more you do it, the longer you're quenching the Spirit of God.
Amen.
The harder your heart's going to get. Jesus told a parable in Matthew 13 and other places about a sower went forth to sow the seed. And some seed landed by the wayside. And the fowls came down and devoured the seed before it ever got in the soil. You know what the wayside is? Listen now, pay attention. Don't go off into another world. The wayside is the street. It wasn't paved. It wasn't concrete. You know what the wayside was is where everyone walked over and over and over again. Or the horse and carts and buggies, or their donkeys, or whatever they used to get transportation, they continually... See, and that farmer, that sower, didn't. He wasn't worried about sowing just in this furrow, in this row here. He was just brought a seed everywhere. The more crop, the better. Well, some of that seed's going to bounce and it's going to land on the wayside. What's the wayside? The roadside. It's what they use to travel on. How did it get so hard? By people trampling on it every day. Every day. Every day. Every day. Day after day. Back and forth. Back and forth. They would walk. You know, you've seen a path in the woods, or you've seen a path in your backyard where the dog... What happens? It just gets trampled on back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. It's the same soil that's right beside it, but it's been trampled on back and forth, back and forth. And so now it's hard. And the seed just bounces on it, and the fowls boop, come down and scoop it up. You see, listen to me. When you quench the Spirit of God, the Bible keeps going back and forth and back and forth, and you hear the preaching and the teaching, and you hear the Word of God in Sunday school and Bible. And this happens to Christians way too often. The Word of God, you never do anything about it. You cease to thank God, you cease to worship God, and that ground starts getting harder and harder. It's the same soil that used to be there, but now it's hard.
Amen, preacher.
And Satan just goes, yeah, you don't need that anyway. And you don't come to the altar. You don't get right. Matter of fact, you start to think, listen, maybe this ain't for me anymore. This ain't working. Because you're quenching the Spirit.
Amen.
God, that that word of God going back and forth, back and forth, back, is not intending to make your heart hard. What it's doing is it's supposed to be plowing up that ground, but you're refusing to let it because you're not being thankful to God and worshiping Him when He tells you, you know what, this is wrong.
Amen.
Instead, you're fighting it.
Yep.
You're fighting it. And so it just gets harder. And then it gets harder. And then it gets harder. And then Satan's having a heyday, just eating your seeds left and right. We used to sing, we used to say amen, we used to be thankful, we couldn't wait to get to church. Our worship has died off. Listen, the same soil is under there somewhere. The same word of God's being preached that you heard when you got saved.
Amen.
What's wrong?
Amen.
You're not thankful.
Come on. It's good. Amen.
Let it show through your worship. Look in Luke 18, next chapter, verse 35. It came to pass that as he was come nigh into Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. Hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. They told him, Jesus of Nazareth passes by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And when they went before, and they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight. Thy faith has saved thee. And immediately he received his sight. And notice, followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God.
Amen.
Did anybody even know when you got saved? I mean, I talk to people all the time. Did you tell your dad? No, I forgot. I know they're just kids, but my soul. As adults, we ought to have. He got healed. He got his sight back, and he glorified God, and everybody around knew it.
Yeah, man, that's right.
He was thankful, and he let it show in his worship. Who cares what they think?
That's right. Amen.
Where are they going to be next time you're on your knees praying?
Amen.
Where are they going to be next time your heart's broken? Where are they going to be next time you have an unmet need that only God can meet?
Yep.
Where are they going to be?
Come on, preacher.
But yet you're worried about what they might think if you praise God too loud. And your heart just gets harder because you quench the spirit over and over. Let it show through your worship. Look over in Mark chapter 5. If you're thankful, in other words, it will show through your worship. You can word it that way. If you're truly thankful, it will show through your worship. Number two, it will show through your witness. Now, I'm really going to knock some of you for a loop here. All of us, probably. Mark chapter 5, verse 18. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. Now stop right there. Stop. We don't see anything else about this man being thankful, but stop right there. Listen, now look up here. Don't read ahead. He had just got healed of about 2,000 devils. He was clothed in his right mind, seated at the feet of Jesus right before this. And then he wanted to go. Jesus got in a ship. And can you see this man who had been isolated? He had been living as a maniac, literally suicidal maniac, in the graveyards, cutting himself and screaming all night long, and they couldn't contain him with chains, and he was so strong, Satan's power of strength, he just break the chains, and he was the most miserable person alive. Jesus came along and he fell at his feet. He got cleansed of all of those evils. Demons, Satan, and they were cast out of him. And then now he's seated and in his right mind at Jesus' feet. But then he says, Jesus, as Jesus starts to get in the ship, he said, wait a minute. I don't want to stay here. Let me go with you. And now right off the bat, you would think Jesus would say, oh, of course. Come on, man, let's get it. But he said, no. Now, you know as well as I do what your first response is when God says, no. Come on now.
Amen.
Say amen right there.
Yeah. Yep.
God said, no. But Jesus, I don't want to go back to that. You saved me. I want to stay with you. I want to go with you. I want to be all around. I want to stay with you. I want to be your shadow. I want to give you water when you're thirsty. I want to give you food when you're hungry. I'll fan you when you're sweaty. Let me stay with you. And Jesus said, no. And then the first response would have been, he said, instead, I want you to go back and tell your friends what I've done for you.
Amen.
I want you to go be a witness.
Right.
This is a very good picture here of when God saves us, He doesn't take us straight to heaven.
Yeah.
I want to go. Well, I don't know if you're waiting for the second train or not. I'm ready to go now.
Yeah.
You can keep the second train and fill it up with whoever you want. I'm going on the first one out of here. Gone. But Jesus said, no. No. Go witness.
Yeah, man.
Go witness.
That's good.
Go witness. Are you thankful that you're saved? Are you thankful that you don't have the 2,000 devils anymore? Are you thankful that you're not living in a cemetery anymore in utter darkness and misery? Are you thankful that God has saved you? Then you can't go to heaven just yet, but I do want you to go witness.
Yeah, man. Amen.
Some of your hearts are getting hard right now. Don't let it happen.
Amen.
Be thankful that the preacher is still preaching the Bible.
Amen.
Granted, we all need to be more faithful witnesses. Me included. But don't sit there and let your heart get hard.
Amen.
Because you just can't witness. Or just because nobody's getting saved. He didn't say, go save the world. He said, go tell them.
Amen.
Thank God he didn't say, go save the world, because then I would give up. But I don't have to save them. I just got to tell them, amen, about what the Lord has done for me. Stop and let me tell you what the Lord has done for me. Stop and let me tell you what the Lord has done for me. I don't remember the rest of it. Go and tell the story of the Christ of Cal. Go and tell the story, something like that.
Amen.
Stop, go, stop, go. There, I just entertained you for the day. But folks, listen. Are you thankful?
Come on. Amen. Yes, sir. Amen.
Then it ought to show through your witness.
Amen.
Go home. Was the man obedient? Yes, he was. Why? Because he was thankful.
That's right. Amen.
Why do you go out soul winning on Saturday mornings, even when it's cold? What if it's hot? Well, it's always two something for somebody. It could be paradise. 70 sunny, no breeze, perfect, no humidity. Well, then it's too early. It's too late. It's too this. I'm too tired. You know what? You're just not thankful.
Amen.
Just be honest. Your heart gets hard every time you make excuses.
Amen.
It may be harder right now. But I don't want that to happen. This man did what he was told. And look what the Bible says. Look what happened. It says, he departed and began to publish in Decapolis. By the way, that means 10 cities. And how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men did marvel. It doesn't say that they got saved, but they certainly heard. And they were affected. It impacted their lives. They marveled. Wow, this is the man. This is the man. It was me. This is me now.
Yep. Amen.
This man was insane. Suicidal. Insane. God has done for you the greatest thing you could possibly hope for. He didn't just heal you. He saved your soul. He's given you eternal life. He indwells you with His own Holy Spirit. He now sits at the right hand of God interceding for you. And one way we let our gratitude show is that we tell others what He's done for us. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so.
Amen. That's good. Amen.
Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's the Great Commission. Why don't we obey it more than we do? Because we're just not thankful. It's a plague. It is a plague in our society. We just think that we deserved it. We just think that, well, I got mine. And that's our selfish, carnal tendencies. We all have it. But listen to the Word of God tonight. Listen to the Holy Spirit tonight. If you're thankful, it will show through your witness.
Amen, preacher. That's good.
And my witness. It's not always easy. It's never really easy. But if you'll just get up and drag your carcass in here, the Word of God will be preached and taught to you for just about 10 minutes. You'll sing a song and you'll say, oh man, I'm ready to go now.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
Instead, you've got something else to do all the time. Acts chapter 8 verse 4 says, therefore they were scattered abroad. They went everywhere preaching the Word. In Acts chapter 8, the gospel spread. That was the early days of Jerusalem there after Jesus is resurrected. They were scattered abroad. In other words, persecution had hit the church. Now listen to me. Persecution had hit the church. Now I'm about to the point where I don't know if I agree with everybody and all the conspiracy theorists, but that this is maybe going to come back around full circle where God's going to have to persecute His church before we get off our dead backsides and go preach the gospel.
Amen.
They were scattered abroad because of persecution. See, in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, Jesus said, ye shall be witnesses in all, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. And then in Acts chapter 8 verse 1, they hadn't gone anywhere. So He sent persecution to the church. And by verse 4, they were scattered abroad. But the Bible says they went everywhere preaching the gospel.
Amen. That's right.
Preaching Jesus.
Amen.
Why? They understood. If this is going to happen, it's up to me. Jerusalem at that time was the only place that had the gospel. We know that they spoke in all of those nations were there on the day of Pentecost, and they had gone back home. But listen, the surrounding areas, all the Judeas and the Samarias and the uttermost parts, they hadn't had the gospel yet. There was no church. There was one church in Jerusalem. That was it. And they understood, if it's going to get around the world, if I'm going to have to spread it, I'm the one that knows it. I'm the one that's been saved. It has affected me. I know that God had to send persecution to them. But maybe if they would have been thankful and just obeyed, he wouldn't have had to do that. I don't know. He didn't say, I'll send persecution and then you go. He said, go. But they didn't listen. You know the way to heaven. You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be a Bible scholar. If you're grateful to God, you want others to join you in heaven, you will have something to say to them.
That's good.
You don't have to have a course in soul winning. You just need a grateful heart.
That's right. Amen. That's good.
Is this getting anywhere?
Yes, sir. Amen.
I can't help it. I sure hope it does.
Amen.
We all need to be more actively involved in telling others about Jesus.
Amen. Yes, sir. Amen. Amen.
Luke 21. I'll finish with this. Luke chapter 21. We should let it show. It will show, I should say, really. It will show through our worship, through our witness, whether or not we're thankful. And finally, it will show through our wages. Luke chapter 21, verse 1. And he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. Jesus was looking. By the way, he looks.
Yeah.
And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. Two mites, that's about half a penny. It's nothing. And he said, of a truth, I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God, but she of her penury, her poverty, hath cast in all the living that she hath. Why would anybody give all that they had? This was a widow. She had no husband. She had no help at home. She had no other form of income. She gave all she had. Well, it was only two mites. Jesus said it was more than anybody else gave.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
She was thankful. She was thankful for what God had done for her. So it doesn't say that in there. I don't need it to say it in there.
Amen.
I've been around long enough, and so have you, to see the people that fuss and quiver about tithe, 10%. Was that this decimal, that decimal, this decimal? Wait a minute. You're grateful? See, grace giving. We live in the area and the age of grace. We don't live in the law of tithing. Well, first of all, Abraham tithed and gave all to Melchizedek, the king of Salem, way before the law was ever given. It was worship.
Amen.
He gave a tenth of all. We just read it tonight. Up to milk. It was back in Genesis chapter 6. It was early on in the days of Abraham. He tithed. He would worship. He gave to the man who helped him. It was worship, the king of Salem. And Jesus, that was a type of Jesus right there in the Bible. And it's not about, well, how much exactly is it? Well, I better not give any more than I have to. That's showing gratitude.
Well,
I know some churches have a give it all Sunday. You would all of a sudden get sick. I'm really seriously considering doing that.
Yeah, man. Yes, sir.
Just so I can give it all.
Hey.
And maybe a couple of you. Give it all. That's what she did. Now, you think she went home and starved, don't you? That poor little widow, she's not very smart. She went home and starved to death. Yeah, just like the same widow of Zarephath who gave Elijah her last bit of meal and flour, and then she just went home and died, didn't she?
No.
Matter of fact, it just kept on.
Yeah.
Every day there was more. There was more. There was more. There was more. You let God be God and you do what He says. You don't have to worry about, well, how come I have to? Well, what's so bad about? That's not a thankful heart. Yeah. Well, why can't I do that? Well, that's not a thankful heart. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. Follow that which is good. In everything give thanks. Don't quench the spirit. What's that got to do with my money? It's got everything to do with it. First of all, it ain't your money.
That's right. Amen.
It's God's.
Amen.
This poor little widow, I feel so sorry for her, right? No. Jesus commended her. Jesus praised her. He said to watching all those rich folks like this.
That's right.
When they saw that widow show up. Did y'all see that?
Amen.
Gratitude. Gratitude. That's exactly what it was. Every Friday night until his death in 1973, this is a true story. An old man visited Broken Down Pier on the eastern seacoast of Florida. He walked slowly and slightly stooped around that pier with a large bucket of shrimp. The seagulls would flock to this old man and he would feed them from that bucket. Many years before, around October of 1942, Captain Eddie Rickenbacker, who this man was on a mission in the B-17 bomber to deliver an important message to General Douglas MacArthur, who was in New Guinea at the time. There was an unexpected detour which would hurl Captain Eddie into the most harrowing adventure of his life. Somewhere over the South Pacific, the flying fortress, the plane, became lost beyond the reach of radio. Fuel ran dangerously low, so the men ditched their plane in the ocean. For nearly a month, Captain Eddie and all of his flight companions would fight the water, the weather, and the scorching sun. They spent many sleepless nights recoiling just in shock and fighting as giant sharks rammed their raft. The largest raft was 9 by 5. The biggest shark was 10 foot long. But of all their enemies at sea, one proved most formidable: starvation. 8 days out after their plane wreck, their rations were gone. It would take a miracle to sustain them. In Captain Eddie's own words, Cherry, which was the pilot, Captain William Cherry, he read the service that afternoon. They had a Bible with them.
Amen.
And we finished with a prayer for God to deliver us and a hymn of praise.
Amen.
Would you have been singing a hymn?
Come on now.
Would I have been singing a hymn? Listen. There was some talk, but it tapered off because the heat was too oppressive. With my hat pulled down over my eyes to keep out of the glare from the sun off the water, I dozed off. Something landed on my head. I knew it was a seagull. I don't know how I knew. I just knew. Everybody else knew too. No one said a word though. But peering out from under my hat brim without moving my head, I could see the expression on their faces. And their expression said this: if you catch that seagull, we got supper. The rest, they say, of the story is history. Captain Eddie caught the seagull. They ate the seagull. They took its intestines and used it for bait. And they caught fish with it. They survived. Their hopes were renewed because one lone seagull hundreds of miles from land, offered itself as a sacrifice.
Amen.
True story.
Amen.
And now, every Friday morning about sunset, Captain Eddie, old man, barely get around, stooped over with his bucket of shrimp, walking down a lonely stretch on the eastern Florida seacoast, white-haired, bushy-eyebrowed, his bucket filled with shrimp for one reason, to feed the seagulls. You see, he remembered that one seagull that saved his life. And he dedicated his old age out of gratitude to give back to those seagulls.
Amen.
We have a Christ who gave his life to save ours. Without it, we were doomed. Without Christ, we were doomed. What are we doing to show our gratitude? What are we doing? Father, I pray you'd bless the message. Lord, we all need to hear from you. We all needed, and we all need to be reminded of how ungrateful we many times are. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would take control of this invitation. God, help us not to let our hearts get harder. Lord, whatever we're going through tonight, help us to come to an old-fashioned altar and be thankful. Rejoice. Pray. Worship. God, help us to go out of here this week and be more faithful witnesses. Help us, Lord, not to cling to our wallets like they were God's, but, Lord, to be grateful, to give you what's yours. Thank you, God, for your word. Please, Father, touch hearts tonight. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed tonight. We've had no nursery distractions. We've had nobody getting sick. We've had nobody going to the restroom. God has told us tonight, plainly, that when we're not thankful, we quench His Spirit. Tonight, dear people, would you get alone with God here, at home? But start here. Would you be honest with God? Say, Lord, I'm not worshiping you like I used to. I'm not witnessing like I used to. Something happened and I got discouraged. I'm not giving like I used to. How about you tonight? Let's all stand to our feet. The altars are open.